Yes, amen. The cross makes a difference. There's no doubt about that. Praise the Lord for that special. What a blessing it's already been just being in the Lord's house today. If you will, turn in your Bibles to the book of Colossians in chapter 3. Colossians in chapter 3. The month of November is somewhat known as a month of Thanksgiving, and praise the Lord for that, not only for the day that we've set aside to be thankful, but just for being reminded of so many things that we need to be thankful for and just looking to God. Last week, we listed with the failures of humanity in the last days in 2 Timothy in chapter 3 and verse 15 was that unthankful. There's many things that presented to us as far as what's going to take place, the mindset of humanity in the last days, but one of those things was being unthankful. And we preached last week on the idea that's the sin that quite possibly leads to all the other sins. Amen. And an unthankful heart. And I trust that was a help to you. We're going to kind of follow up with that this morning and looking at Colossians in chapter 3. If you'll stand with me, we're going to read verse 15 down to verse 17. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. The Bible says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And so whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we do bow before you this morning, we thank you for your presence in this place. And we thank you for the blessings that we've already received in being here. And now, Father, as we've opened up the precious Word of God that you have promised to preserve, I just pray, God, that you would help us to glean from these verses that we've just read and receive that spiritual help that you have for us today. I pray that you would give each one of us that ear to hear what you have for us this morning and use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. In verse 15, we find in the last of that verse, it says, "And be ye thankful." Be ye thankful. And then if we look to verse 17, at the last of that verse, it says, "Giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." So we find here in these verses, first it starts out with God telling us to be ye thankful, and then it tells us to give thanks. So being thankful will lead to giving thanks. So understanding that, then realizing that being, that's something that's inside of us, that makes up who you are, your being. So being is more important than just saying thanks. As this is what the Word of God reveals to us, and if you study it, you understand that's very important, that that's inside of you. That's the person that you are. How do I get to the place of being thankful? You ever stopped and really wondered about that? I mean, yeah, we are taught to say thank you, taught to say please. Just common courtesies and certain things that as a child you try to encourage that child to say thank you when somebody does something for you, gives you something. And when you want something from somebody, you always want to refer to that as being please. Just common courtesies, if you will. But is that really what God's looking for in us? And I don't think so. I think this understanding that, first of all, if it's part of your being, then giving thanks is automatic. If it's what's within you, whenever it's time, whenever it's appropriate, whenever you should, it will automatically be there. This idea of be ye thankful. So the first thing I want to look at this morning is just understanding what God is saying about it. Found in these verses right here, I think it's all no doubt. In verse 15, it says, be thankful. In verse 17, then it says, giving thanks. And so these three verses that we're looking at here, I think it helps us to understand what God's saying to us. First of all, it says in verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. This peace of God, only God can give you a peace that comes from Him. And that peace is something that will pass all human understanding. The peace of God only comes from God, and you can't get that from anything in this world. And that's what we find. The Bible says, and the peace of God, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That's inside of you. That's your being. To the which also ye are called in one body. Now, if you're in one body, we understand that this idea of being in one body means that you are the body of Christ. That means that you have been saved. Because you can only become part of the body of Christ when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And then He becomes your Lord, and He is the head of your life. He's the one that we're looking to. And we become part of His body. We become part of Him. And we are called in one body. And so this idea, first of all, peace of God ruling in your hearts, it's an issue of the heart and not of the tongue. If the heart's where it should be, then the tongue will say what needs to be said. But it's a peace of God in us. The peace of God in us bringing this salvation to us means that God is inside of you. And you're now in that body of Christ, and if that's inside of you, if you yield to the Spirit of God, you will be thankful. In verse 16, it says this, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts. Again, it's from within inside of us, and we're acknowledging this and we're singing unto the Lord. The word of Christ dwelling in us. It's about knowing God's word. This being is about knowing right and wrong. It's about knowing our purpose for life. It's about knowing what this world is here for, understanding that God is in control of everything in heaven and earth. And so as we have the Word of God in us, this also is making us developing the being inside of us. If you weren't here for Sunday morning Sunday school, boy, you need to start coming for Sunday school, because the wisdom of choosing a good name and understanding a good name is your testimony. Yes, sir. And what's inside of you will eventually come out. Right. And what's inside of you is who you are. And it will come out as to your testimony to others as far as who you are. And we need to choose the right, making the right choices. That which is inside of us will help us and will lead us to make the right choices. Right. It's our being. It's what's inside of us. And so we find here this idea of being thankful. It's first of all, having God in you, having the peace of God in your heart, being part of the body of Christ, and then having the Word of God, understanding the very words of God, the Bible. Amen. Because the Bible is there to guide us through life. Yes. It's a lamp and a light. It helps us to understand everything that we have need of understanding. And if we have all that understanding of God inside of us, then listen to me, that's part of your being, and part of that will lead you to be thankful. Yeah. It doesn't stop there, but it goes on to verse 17. It says, and whatsoever you do, no matter what's going on in your life, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So whatsoever you do, that is, no matter what's going on in your life, think about the name of the Lord Jesus. No matter where you're at, no matter what's going on, no matter what trials you go through, no matter what takes place in your life, be aware of not only God in you, be aware of Christ all the time. Be aware of Christianity. Be aware of my purpose in this life. Be aware of what God has said about heaven and earth. Be aware of all the things that God has revealed to us in the scriptures. Amen. And as you're aware of that, you have the knowledge of God and you have the remembrance of what Jesus did for you and the blessings that are associated with salvation through Christ. It'll make you what God wants you to be. It's part of your being. See, you can force someone to say thank you. You can pay someone to say thank you. Sometimes we bribe our kids. Say thank you or you don't get this piece of candy. Amen. And I'm not against that. Amen. If that's what, at least that's where you get it started, by at least voicing it. And at some point then, if they're going to continue that, it's going to be determined by what's in them. You first of all try to develop them in knowing what's right and trying to develop a character within them, trying to develop them in their mannerisms and what's right and what's wrong. And you try to direct that. And even if they're just saying it, even if they're just walking through the motions that you have placed before them, it's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with it. It is a good thing. But at some point, they'll start making their own decisions. And if you've not worked on their being, if you've not worked on their understanding of salvation, if you've not worked on their understanding of the Bible, if you've not worked on their understanding of Jesus Christ, they will not be thankful. Amen. That's what God is telling us. Understanding what God is saying about it is what we first of all need to look at. If we are going to be what God wants us to be, and if we are truly going to be thankful, we have to understand what God says about the need for it and what's going to lead us to be thankful. It's going to come by way of Jesus Christ. Amen. Then we need to understand why. Why do we need to be thankful? The most obvious reason is because God says so. Every child, when told to do something that might be hard to do or something that they don't want to do, will ask the question, why? Why do I have to eat my spinach? I would prefer to eat my cake. I would prefer to eat my ice cream. Why do I have to eat my vegetables? And the response, and it's all right to have this response in the beginning, is because I said so. I'm bigger than you are. Amen. And that's reason enough that that child ought to see that and say, you are bigger than I am. All right, I'll eat them. That's right. I'm the authority figure here. And if you don't eat them, I'm going to spank you. You're big enough to do that. Yeah. And they reason that within their little minds, and then you might even buy them there. If you don't eat your spinach, you can't have your ice cream. There's nothing wrong with that. Amen? Because right now you're developing within them just the right things to do. But if at some point in their lives you don't explain to them, or they are not taught health, they're not taught what the body needs to be healthy. They're not taught that you need to have all the food groups. Amen. Now, why do you end up telling? Because at some point in their lives, they're going to choose for themselves whether they eat their vegetables or whether they eat a little bit of all the food groups. And if they develop this understanding of why I need to eat these, and if you're going to be healthy, your body needs certain types of proteins. Your body needs certain types of vitamins and minerals. And even though it might be something that I really don't like as well as the dessert, I have an understanding of why I need to eat these things. And the thing of it is, as you grow, you start liking them. Amen. Something you might not have liked as a child, when you grow a little bit older, you realize your taste changes, your taste buds and your desire for certain things. And even now I try to get my older kids, try it, you'll like it. they make their decision. I can't force them anymore, but usually they've already made up their mind they're not going to like it because I've told them to try it and they're going to not like it. But the idea here is, why? It's all right in the beginning just to follow protocol. But at some point, you have to understand why. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 18. Why should I develop this being of thankful, being of gratitude? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says this: in everything, give thanks. Well, that's, I said so. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's the will of God. And if you know God, you know that God loves you. And everything that is His will for your life is not only what's right for you to do, it is what's best for you to do. His will concerning us is what God can bless. And if we don't have His will in our lives, then we put ourselves in a position where God cannot bless us. The nation of Israel, as you go through, and for every command that God gave them, especially the things that they could not do, that God says, do not have this in your life, do not do this, it was always for in their best interest. Not only was it in their best interest so that they would not go away from God and fall into some type of an idolatry situation or something that was going to bring damnation into their lives, it was not God's will for their lives. But it was not God's will for their lives because it was not what was best for their lives. It was not what God could bless. And so today, as we understand the reasoning, why do we need to develop this being within us and be ye thankful? It's because if you are not thankful, then you cannot have the blessings of God in your life, and it's going to direct you down a wrong road. But if you develop this inside of you through salvation and yielding to the Spirit of God and understanding what the Bible says, and you develop this being inside of you, then you will be able to make the right decisions, and making the right decisions, developing this being inside of you. And as you do this, it becomes part of who you are. It positions you in a place where God can bless you. Amen. You need to understand when. When are we to be thankful? Surely it's not when something bad happens. It's not when my football team loses. You see, if you were an Ohio State fan yesterday, it's easy for you to be thankful. If you were a Michigan fan yesterday, it's hard for you. Amen? We have some on the staff that are on both sides of that. But the truth of it is, you're always to be thankful. No matter what kind of bad news you get, no matter if the doctor comes back and tells you you have cancer, no matter if they tell you you're losing your job, Ephesians in chapter 5. The Bible reveals something about that. Ephesians in chapter 5. Surely God can't expect me to give thanks when I hear bad news. Ephesians in chapter 5, it's what God says. This is what you need to develop in you. Ephesians 5 verse 19 says this, speaking to yourselves. Speaking to yourselves. Developing this being inside of you. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. This is some of the same nature. The very same nature of God that tells you to rejoice. The very same nature of God that tells you to love the unlovable. Even when you think you cannot love that person, if you look to Christ and you yield to the Spirit of God, you can love the unlovable. You can forgive the unforgivable. It's a nature of God. It's part of what God wants you to be. It needs to be part of your being as a born-again believer. Someone has the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in them. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. God's Spirit being in us knows it's the best thing for us to be aware of Christ for all things. Can I tell you, there will always be more positive things than negatives for the child of God. And when the negatives comes, God will always help us to understand there's a purpose for what we might see as a negative. Even when we can't understand it, if it's a part of your being, you're going to thank God. On Thanksgiving Day, we had the grandchildren over. And we got a little game room downstairs, and we put half of the ping pong table down so that the kids, they hadn't had that down before, but we finally are letting them in that room. And so they was bouncing it off of the backboard and playing individual because of the space that we had. And we went upstairs, and all the rest of the kids went in a different room, but little Sam, he stayed in there. And he took off running and didn't realize that that ping pong table was down and there's a real sharp edge on it. And he ran his face into the ping pong, the edge. If you would stand him up to the ping pong table, if he was standing there, that edge of the ping pong table would be right at his eyes. And he come out of there, and he was crying, and he says, I want Daddy, I want Daddy. Well, Daddy was gone hunting, you know, leaving his kid there with his grandpa. Come on, you know. Daddy's not here, but grandpa has to do. And the first thing I saw was this big gash in his little cheek, blood coming down. You know the first thing I did? I said, thanks, God. Because if he had to hit his eye, he would have to live the rest of his life with one eye. I believe God protected him. I believe that even in something negative, there's something positive. And it's got to be within us. No matter, even if it's a negative, to realize there's a purpose and always give thanks. Amen. Understanding when. There's never a time we should not. It's always. Which leads us back to how do I get to the place of being? How do I get to the place where that's the first thing that comes out? I didn't panic. I didn't say, why did it have to happen? Why did? No, first thing that come out, without me even really giving it much thought, immediately. Thank you, God. How do I get to that place? Called in one body. Having the peace of God. Salvation is an issue of the heart. It has to be in you. Salvation is God in us, and God's nature is that of being thankful, that of rejoicing, that of loving, because it's in us. It's in us. In closing, I want you to see a perfect example. Luke in chapter 8. Luke in chapter 8. How do I get to this place? Luke in chapter 8, verse 27. I don't have time to go through the whole story. Most of you know the story. But Luke in chapter 8, Jesus went to the country of the Gadarenes. Verse 27 says this, when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in tombs. Now, if you go back and you would read the accounts in all the Gospels about this maniac of Gadara, you'll find that they tried to bind him. They would catch him because he would do harm to anybody that come by there. He lived in the tombs. He was a wicked individual. He was demon-possessed. They bound him. They caught him and bound him with chains. And he was strong enough. He broke the chains. There was no way of ridding their community of this maniac of Gadara. And Christ came into the picture. Christ came into the picture. And there was something that was still human inside of this individual that wanted what Jesus had to offer. Even though he was filled with demons and did all this evil, he came to Christ. And Christ saved him. After Christ saved him, we find him in verse 35. Then they went out to see what was done. Took all the demons, put them in some pigs. The pigs ran violently down into the water. They all drowned. But the maniac of Gadara was free from all of this evil. And he had Christ in him. Then they went out to see what was done. This went abroad, the testimony of what had happened. Everyone was hearing about how this maniac had changed. And they came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They were fearful of what was taking place, but the idea of the maniac of Gadara, now that he had Christ in him, he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Look at verse 38. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him, Jesus, that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, verse 39, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. How do I get to the place of being thankful. There's only one way. Sit at Jesus' feet and then go and do what he has given you to do. And never forget all that he's done for you. If you'll do that, giving thanks will come natural. Because not only will you be giving thanks, you will be, it's part of what's in you, thankful. if I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Is it part of your makeup? Is it part of your being? Maybe this morning you need to take care of that. It begins with Jesus in you. Do you know that He dwells within you? Do you know that the Holy Spirit of God is inside of you, giving you a peace that passes all understanding, helping you to focus on the person of Jesus Christ and what He's done for you? Do you know the Bible? That's the second thing, is you have to learn the Word of God to know what's right and wrong. Do you know the Word? Do you have the Word of God dwelling within you? And then no matter what's going on in your life, do you stay focused on Jesus being Lord? That's how you be ye thankful. Father, we bow before You now. We love You and thank You, Lord God, for the truths of this passage of Scripture. And I pray, God, that You'd help everyone here to be able to understand it in such a way that they would have a desire, knowing it's Your will for their lives, that it would develop in them to be thankful. If there's anyone here that does not know You as their personal Lord and Savior, right now, I pray, God, that You would bring that conviction upon them, that Your Spirit would bear witness with their spirit and reveal to them their need to receive Jesus Christ today. Work in our midst. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.